podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey, it's the podcast guy.
Sutton United Talk Time on podcast. It's the Sutton Podcast.
But the whistle goes now. Delight for Sutton United, the National League, are through to the last 16 of the FA Cup. No longer English football's perennial non-league club. A 123-year crescendo reaches a new peak for Sutton United, who are promoted to the Football League for the first time.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sutton United Talk Time on podcast. It's the Sutton Podcast in association with Lucky Star Gin. I'm your host, Mike, and with me today we have Alistair. Today we're going to cover the away loss to Tranmere Rovers and look forward to the must-win game, cup final, etc, 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 all those other things we've been saying for about 3 months now, of Grimsby next week at home. Please don't forget the engagement is important. I know I say it every week, but it is really, really important. All those likes, shares, retweets, comments, it just keeps it up there and lets the algorithms know that you're interested in it. And as always, big shout out to everyone who does all the likes and shares and everything as well. Thank you very, very much. Apart from one to Marnes and Clive, who are apparently thinking that I should go on the pitch as like one of those ultras and start telling the players off, which would be quite funny because I'm going, right, you listen to me. So yeah, not sure that's going to happen. But yeah, apart from that, coming up with these ridiculous ideas, I do love all the shares. Let's jump straight in. Ali, I think it was towards the end of October that you were on last. How have you been since?
Yeah, been great. Thanks very much. I think it was probably the Wrexham away game was the last time I was on. I think work and other life commitments got in the way of going to a couple of the Northern away games with my lad, like I normally do.
Yeah, I think we've happens, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we're just getting back into the swing of it now with a few games coming up, hopefully.
Right, we'll get into that actually a sec. Various bits of club news. The ladies side have had two friendlies in the last few days, actually. They've had a midweek one against Bromley, won 4-2, and then they had one today again where they won 3-0. So obviously things are starting to click there and everything, so that's all good. Our under-13s were in a cup final, and unfortunately they lost this morning, but they got to a cup final. So
yeah,
I know they're getting... I know if any of them listen, and weirdly some of the kids do listen, I don't know why, but take the fact you're in a cup final. Not many people get to a cup final, so take that fact and hold on to that, and congratulations, and next time you'll get there, don't worry. Pitch is a bit of a concern, because I believe the Palace Academy game and then today the ladies match was called off, so hopefully a week is going to be enough to get it all looking good and playing well. It's mad that the Bradford pitch is deemed playable, but pitches like ours aren't. Hopefully that'll get sorted out. I did think it was a bit unfair. Like, I didn't really think about these things, but Palace ladies were due to play Birmingham, and it got called off about 1 o'clock-ish. And it's like, they must really be there. Sort of they should take into account who's travelling and when, but anyway, not my decision. There was some comments last week, because I said very glibly, there's been no news from the club to talk about. And of course, the finances had been released that very day. There was a little bit to talk about. It shows the last 2 years, I think we've lost about $1.25 million, which is a lot. I haven't got that down the back of my sofa. But we do have two new stands, a new pitch. So it's actually quite a lot we've got for the money. Obviously, we can't sustain that, but I'm a bit confused. It must be something I'm missing, because they did say that they're going to be doing a new sort of share issue. And although they're only 50 quid a share, there's like 60 odd thousand of them, which is going to be about 3 million. So I'm like, maybe my maps isn't working out, but I think that that's okay. Obviously, no one wants to lose money, but I don't see it as a bigger concern as others. It's deleted off some of these. Jack, obviously, congratulations to Jack for his debut, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a mo. But yeah, as for the game, Steve, as he was just getting to the reputation of changing it all up and making loads and loads of changes, he made only one change. With Duke McKenna dropping to the bench and Craig Clay coming on. I know lots of people have different opinions on that, but how were you sort of feeling at the lineup stage?
Yeah, I think it was probably pretty much what I expected. I think when I saw it, I thought he's going there with a view to keeping it quite tight and maybe trying to nick a win, especially with probably a few tired legs after the Notts County game. So I think he was probably looking with bringing Craig Clay in to play alongside Eastie to just have that little bit more stability in the midfield and just control the ball a little bit more in the midfield.
Yeah, I mean, it's not unexpected. I know there were lots of people who really want Tukey to play sort of every game, really. But I think in one of his interviews, he sort of had said that he's trying to bring him along and there's things he wants him to do a bit more. But yeah, I mean, he obviously knows a lot more about it than I do. So, but how are you kind of feeling heading into it? So obviously we've beaten Notts County, perhaps a surprising victory. Heading into Tranmere, who aren't in the best of form, but are fairly safe. As I said on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever we recorded, they do like us, so you'd think, well, maybe they'd let us have the game. But how are you sort of feeling going into it? Were you a little bit confident, or were you like, oh, it's going to be another up and down full storm?
I thought it'd be a tough game going into it, to be fair. I think I've said to a few people, I was sort of hoping my lad had never seen us lose at Tranmere. He'd seen a win and a draw. So I was hoping we'd come away from the game with something. But I didn't think it'd be sort of a walk in the park with Tranmere. I think they're, even though they're not in the greatest form at the minute, they're still capable of scoring goals. And they did hit a run of form not that long ago where they seemed to drag themselves out of the trouble they were getting into. Mm-hmm. So I thought at home, it's going to be a tough ask. But we you know, historically have played well there. So I thought we'd go there and have a chance to at least come away with a point, but probably, you know, have a good chance to get 3 points as well.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it's something. Your boys now seeing all three different results. Yeah. So I suppose it's something. I was kind of just hoping we'd nick it, and as it went on, I really, really, really thought we would. I was quite down here, so I'll be honest. So you mentioned, like, the previous encounters we've done well. I think there'd been like two wins, two draws. I think we've done particularly well up there, as you said. But we started very brightly. We had some good opportunities in the opening exchanges. How were you kind of feeling then?
I thought we were moving the ball around well. I think it was in the fourth or fifth minute. Eastie had a goal disallowed. I didn't realise at first, obviously jumped up celebrating, then wondered why no one else was celebrating on the pitch. And I watched the highlights back this morning. I think they said on the commentary it was given for a handball. To me, it sort of hits him on the upper arm, sort of half chest, half upper arm area. I don't think it was the right decision by the referee, but obviously at the time I couldn't see what it had been given for. Didn't know it was a foul or offside or what, because we were just at the other end of the ground. But I thought it gave us a little bit of confidence, and I was, you know, a positive start, and we were creating stuff and putting them under some pressure, which made me think we were going to get something more out of the game than we did.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the referee there. It was interesting. He let quite a lot go, then he got really fussy to Tranmere, then he got a lot go again. It's like, make your mind up. Just let's know what kind of game you're going to have. But I mean, we were kind of all right. I mean, watching it back, I felt that first half we weren't doing too bad. We were defensively looking good. When they broke through, we had an absolute sort of wall in goal. I know that sounds mad to say we were doing quite well defensively, but then Steve Arnold made loads and loads of saves. But it just gave you that little confidence. How was it watching him?
Yeah, I thought he gave the back four a lot of confidence, to be fair, because he was quite commanding in the area. He was making good saves. You could see him directing people as well, which I thought was good. I think the one thing I think I put jokingly in the WhatsApp chat is he can't kick for Toffee, and it was just a lot of wayward kicks, a lot into the stands and things like that, which was a shame. I think if that was a lot better, it'd have been even better. But he was unbelievable yesterday, really, and certainly in the first half, made some great saves as well.
I'm wondering if that kicking is a factor of his injury, because when he came in for those games earlier in the season, his kicking, everyone was like, well, why isn't he playing? His kicking's great. What's going on? I do wonder if his hip isn't moving quite as well as
it's got to be, because he was like, there was somewhere, you know, they'd try to put it down the line into for someone to win a header or a flick on. They were just sailing into the crowd every time, and you're sort of thinking, not really sure what's going on here. We need to change tact because they're just not working.
Yeah. I mean, there was a penalty shout as well, I think, if I remember. I can't even remember. I wrote all sorts of nonsense down. But never mind, you were taking your head to it, obviously it wasn't. But at the half sort of drew to a close, 0-0, were you thinking that we should have scored, we could have scored, or were you still...
I think there was there was a few half chances. There was one where Charlie Lakin picked the ball up in the middle, just couldn't quite get it under control, and then he just picked the wrong pass. Harry made a run, and all he had to do was sort of play it right through the middle of two defenders, and he sort of tried to play it around the side of them, and it was just nowhere near where Harry was making his run. It was just a bit of a miscommunication. I think he'd have been in one-on-one and had a good chance, but I thought, you know, we had a few half chances, didn't create massive amounts, but didn't really... We weren't under pressure, I didn't feel, a lot of the time in the first half. And I think they had one cleared off the line, didn't they, by Joe Kizzy, who had... I'm not sure where that hit him. There was a few chance of Super Joe Kizzy in goal. Going on. So I'll not comment where that hit him, but I know where I think it hit him. Maybe the ref got that one wrong as well.
Yeah, that might have been the penalty that I wrote. I think it might have been that. Because I wrote penalty, but it was definitely that. But he did seem to go out of his way to annoy the Tranmere players, because there was a little spell where he just didn't give anything. I mean, there was Nino who got very upset with a challenge. And
yes,
he possibly could have got carded for that. Red card for that, because he did grab hold of him and push him down. And I think the worst part of it was not that he did it, because he can kind of go, all right, he's young, that's a challenge, he's worried. He then grabbed hold of him again and did it again. It's like, right, twice is probably pushing your luck a little bit, mate.
I think it was there was a few of us around. I could hear a few murmurs, and I was saying, I think he's going to get sent off here. I think the ref's going to send him off here. So I think he was quite lucky to come away with the yellow there. However, you know, that was one of the things I didn't talk about. He ended up into the advertising hoardings with a head injury, because the ball was going out. It was going nowhere, and the Tranmere player just basically barged into the back of him and sent him into the advertising hoardings, which was ridiculous, to be fair. So I can understand his anger. However, I think maybe a more seasoned pro might have not acted the way he did afterwards. However, I can understand why he was angry. He's young, and he's just had his head banged against the advertising, and then they went through him a few minutes later, and it was, you know, it was all getting a bit bubbly at one point.
It's brick advertising as well, apparently.
Yeah.
How did anyone think that's a great idea? But okay, whatever. But yeah, one of their players, I think, got booked for playing in there, but asking for the card. And in the Super Joe Kizzy and goal save, one of their players got booked as well for complaining there as well, which is, it's like, is this ref literally just trying to annoy the whole lot? Obviously, I thought he was great.
To be fair, there was periods where I thought he had a good game, the ref, where he was letting things go. There was a few 50-50s where, you know, at this level, they always get given to the home team. You sort of expected it. There was a couple of dives from their players where they anticipated being tackled, jumped up in the air onto the floor, and he sort of just waved them up. Whereas, you know, I've seen that a lot in this league where and in the National League where players do that, and because it's the home team, the crowd go up and the ref gives the foul sort of thing. So I thought for most of the first half, he handled it pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, as we kind of go into the second half, we changed things up a little bit. Still pushing, still doing okay. I was literally thinking, we're going to nick this. This is definitely the start of the comeback trail. He did bring on his subs. We didn't mention Jack. I said we'll mention Jack in a minute, but we didn't mention it. Yeah, Jack came on a little bit before half time, which was very interesting to see. Suddenly, young guy in there.
Yeah, I thought he handled himself really well. There was a couple of nervous touches when he first came on, but that's probably expected. You know, he's not expecting to get on and being after sort of half an hour. But after that, he really just settled into the game and he handled himself really well, I thought.
There was one, I can't remember if it was first or second half, I can't remember what it was, but there was a corner and poor boy looked like he didn't know what he was doing. Obviously, he does know what he's doing. He's played for ages. But he had one senior player telling him to move up, one senior player telling him to go back. Then he's going to the bench and they're saying go up. And someone's saying, he can't go forward and backwards. He'll be knackered in a minute if they don't just let him decide. And I just thought, go on, just run into the box and get it in there. But he went
just
back.
Get one.
But he did really well. Great thing there is when him and Ollie played in one of the preseason friendlies, I happened to just have to walk around and saw Jimmy Dack, and I was like, you must be really proud, they did really, really well. And he goes, I tell you what, there's more behind them to come through as well. He goes, there's even better players coming through. And I'm like, really? We could be in for a great future there. The subs came on, including Duke the Saviour, sort of bombing forward and doing well. I mean, he's got his first assist in midweek. And there was one moment where he was going through and nice bit of skill, open up the space for him. You're like, shoot. Yeah. And he didn't.
No.
What were you kind of feeling at that point? Were you feeling he should have shot? We could get a shot away?
Yeah, I thought he probably could. I think they seemed to be very shot shy in the second half across the board. There was chances where you're thinking, just have a go. And it was another pass and another pass. I know it's, you know, Steve obviously wants them to play good football. We want to see them play nice football. Sometimes you've just got to have that chance. When you're on the edge of the box and you get that space open up, you've just got to have a go because it might go straight in or it might hit someone and take a deflection and go in, or you might get a corner out of it. But the more and more passes we were getting, we were either end up going backwards with the ball or losing possession. Mm-hmm. I actually thought when Duke came on the first 5 or so minutes, he struggled to get into the game first 5 or 10 minutes. There was a bit of back and forth to the bench with him and Steve. I think he was giving up on things a bit too much, where the ball would go forward instead of closing down, he'd sort of just give up on it. And so there was a bit of back and forth with them. And in the end, he did settle in and started chasing on and putting the defenders under a bit of pressure. I actually felt we missed Craig Clay actually when he went off. I think he took a couple of heavy knocks in the first half and was hobbling about a little bit. I felt we lost that little bit of control in the midfield and that little bit of bite in that midfield. We were sort of turning the ball over a lot more to Tranmere in that area in the second half.
Yeah, and that's saying it's the shooting. That's kind of the position we're in, because the shooting thing is, it happens to a lot of teams when things aren't going well. People just don't have the confidence to go crack it and see what happens. Because you always just want it to be an absolute chance. We need the wins. So therefore, taking off a defensive midfielder and putting more attacking on is a sensible option, because you need to go for the win, but it then leaves us, as you say, quite exposed. I think it was Ryan who clearly decided that this ref was never going to give a penalty, so decided to... throw someone to the ground and elbow drop them and everything. But
yeah,
penalty was given.
Yeah,
not exactly was, controversial.
No, I think it, you know, it is a penalty, and I sort of felt, I felt like it was almost not coming, but I felt like the ref was a bit desperate to give it because he'd warned them on a couple of corners previously, and he'd warned them on the previous corner to the when the penalty happened about pulling and holding, and there was a lot of pushing and shoving going on. So I just felt like he's picking something, and if he gets the chance here or the excuse to do it, he's going to give the penalty because he's told them to. Everyone's been told two or three times now, stop grabbing, stop pulling. There's been a lot of appeals for penalties because of it. And I just felt like he's told them, and if we do it, we're silly enough to hold on to them, we're going to concede that penalty.
Yeah. I mean, looking at it again, I don't think it mattered whether he told them or not. It was clear as day. Yeah. But they stepped to take the penalty, and I mean, penalties have been last few games. You've just all of a sudden for penalties for, penalties against.
Yeah.
And I know Steve gave a lot of credit to Andy for giving him the instructions and telling him what to do, but the fact is he had to basically stay still down the middle, which is really difficult for a goalkeeper to do.
Definitely.
But, yeah, saved it with his foot way. How are you kind of feeling at that point? That's a goal, basically.
Yeah, that's it. That was, you know, I suppose the equivalent in the Premiership would be a VAR decision disallowing a goal. That was, I thought, 1-0, here we go, that, you know, same old story, we've worked really hard, played really well, and now we're going to go 1-0 down to a penalty. You know, so, you know, I thought that's got to lift the team, and it did, to be fair. We got back into the game after that because we were under a bit of pressure at the time. And I was hoping we'd push on and try and snatch a winner, really, because, you know, there was a lifeline, wasn't it, back to stay at 0-0.
Yeah, I mean, I think my thought was they were having so many chances, they were doing so well, and we were just stopping it all. Because earlier in the season, it was a case of we were limiting teams to one or two chances, and they were scoring them. Whereas now, teams are having a lot more chances, but we're saving them. So as it went on longer and longer, I thought we're going to nick this, we're going to get something out of this. Unfortunately, they did exactly what you were talking about a little while ago. They had the shot, it bobbled along, bounced around, and in it went. I mean, you could just see, I watched it back, but you could see the players just like that, and it must be so difficult. I mean, how were you guys in the stadium?
Yeah, it was absolutely deflating, really. It was, I thought we could have pushed on and won the game at 0-0. At 1-0 down, I didn't see us getting back into it, even though we did create a few chances. The guy who scored Apter had sort of got in on that left channel most of the day, really, up against Sam. And, you know, Sam played really well against him, to be fair, but they were obviously deliberately doing it, overloading that side. There seemed to always be two spare men when they'd attack and counter-attack against us on that side. So it didn't really come as a surprise that he was the one who got the goal, because he seemed to be having the most joy down that side and the most luck with having shots and getting on the ball and possession there on that side. But yeah, it was just deflating when it went in. You know, you're sort of thinking 3 or 4 minutes till the 90, and then some extra time, and you know, you could, the wind just went out of not only the players' sails, but probably the crowd as well, like the travelling support. The boys and girls have been singing all afternoon, and after that, it was pretty deathly quiet. I think it was, you know, maybe the realisation's starting to hit home a little bit now for some.
Yeah. On that, I think it was 140, 100, just under 150, I think it was. And yeah, it was interesting. You could hear, when I was listening back, you could hear them singing. Yeah. So that's very, very impressive. But it's, as you said, a little bit more of same old. And I think Steve even said that in the interview.
It's
the same old. I mean, it was a very different interview to Tuesday night. It just shows the nature of football. It's up and down. But, I mean, how do you sort of reflect on the match itself, the week, overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think the match overall, I think Steve said pretty much how I felt, and a draw would have been a more fair result. I think we could have nicked it a 0-0. The longer it went on, I've seen this before. We get the goal and then we can sort of shut up shop a little bit and hopefully just hang on and take the 3 points. I think the 1-0 win for Tranmere was probably a bit of an unfair result because I think we gave as good as we got, really, and probably deserved the point for the performance. Especially following on, it'd have been nice to get a point or even three following on from the Notts County result. That'd have made the week a lot more special, and it probably would have got everyone's hopes up a little bit more from where they are. I'm not an eternal optimist myself. I'm an eternal pessimist. So if we'd have got 3 points there again, maybe I'd have started to believe a little bit more that we could get out of the problems we're in. So it was disappointing because I think they deserved a point for the performance more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's now 10 to go. Grimsby got a win. Yes, they've got games in hand. They have got games in hand, obviously. I think someone said in the group the games in hand are always more useful for you at the top going for to winning something rather than at the bottom where you're losing. It just seems like a chore. But it's kind of made that gap even further. We've got Colchester still almost within grasp, but we didn't do much damage to them a couple of weeks ago. So it just seems that the times we do eventually win, other teams also match our results. And the times they drop points, we drop points. And it's just ticking those games off all the time now. So I think you may have kind of said it. Have you moved into acceptance, or have you still got that tiny, tiny, tiny glimmer of hope?
I suppose I'd never give up. There might be a tiny glimmer of hope there that we could, by some miracle, stay up. I think you get into the territory now of last day of the season type stuff, rather than being safe with games to go. Like I said, I'm always a bit of a pessimist when it comes to these things, and I'd be a liar if I said I hadn't started looking at the National League table and the National League North and South to see who potentially could be in the same league as us next year. As much as I'd love to say, I've been looking at League One and who's going to get relegated from there, and National League for who's coming up. I feel like the writing's on the wall a little bit now for us. Like you say, we seem to get good results when at the same time as other teams were fighting against get good results. And then when we get a bad result, they seem to pick up a point here and there. And, things just, I don't know if it's bad luck or what, but things just haven't gone our way when we've needed it to.
No, I mean, funny enough, Steve said a phrase that I've kind of been saying all season. So where he said, I do believe this team have it in them. Did you go put a string of results together? And I've been saying that for ages, going, this is the kind of guys they could suddenly go and bang out a load of wins. But it's, I think Ed Walker on Twitter said the average survival was 47 points over some like 7 or 8 years or something like that. Yeah. And for us to get there is 7 wins out of 10. So it's becoming more and more unlikely. It's obviously still possible. Maybe not probable, but still possible. but I mean, one bonus is Steve Arnold was fantastic, and he has been the 3 games. I mean, what's odd is obviously the 3 games prior to the switch of keepers, people have been crying for Dino not to be playing, but they were his best 3 games of the season. And he got switched, and it's now Steve's best 3 games of the season. But I mean, how impressed were you with Arnold? I don't even know. I haven't looked at any teams of the week or anything yet. Is he in team of the week?
I haven't seen who's in team of the week. I'd certainly think he'd be in with a shout for team of the week if he was. He was, if you had to pick a man of the match for yesterday for Sutton, I think it'd have been him. I thought he was outstanding. He sort of made, saved pretty much everything he could. By the sounds of it, his kicking's been hampered a little bit by his previous injury. If he can get over that, then and start kicking a lot better, then he'll be even better. But he was absolutely outstanding yesterday. The the goal was the goal, but it, you know, there was no sort of blame laid at his feet. I wouldn't have said for that. It was just one of those things where he just couldn't quite get stretched out enough for it, tucked right where he just couldn't get it. And but yeah, he was brilliant yesterday, to be fair. Seemed to have good command of the back four, good command of his area. You know, he wasn't afraid to come and punch the ball, collect it if he needed to. And yeah, I thought he was really good.
Yeah, and I mean, in his interview, it was typical, like a striker who scores a hat-trick and we lose. It's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. And Tony was giving him lots of congratulations. He was like, okay, but we lost. So
yeah,
it's meaningless now. So I was like, oh, that's a bit harsh. Great performance, kept us in it. But yeah, we kind of, yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things we kind of just got to get on with now. I mean, most of the comments, I try and always pick up some comments, but most of the comments were about Steve. Actually the possibility or probability, whichever you want to use, of relegation, which more and more people seem to be coming around to. One thing I didn't mention in the news, I don't know why I put it here actually, but the new kit, I don't know, did you see it?
Yes, I did actually. I seen there's some photos. They were taking some press shots or photos of it yesterday. Looked really nice. I thought it was great.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, it's all for a good cause and a good reason, isn't it, to have it. I think it's brilliant. It's a good partnership to have.
Yeah, no, absolutely. My comment was, yeah, that's a beautiful looking kit. Leave aside all that other stuff. People are going to like that kit. Forget all that. I did see it a little while ago accidentally, I was like, oh, I'm not showing anyone that. I was like, that's going to be really nice. So I'm really hoping lots of people grab it and we can put a little bit of we won that as the third or away next season. That would be really nice, wherever we are.
It's definitely more pink in person than
is it?
I know there was a few comments comparing it to Cashel, and it's definitely more pink than being a Robins kit, that's for sure.
Was it Harry wearing it? Yes, I saw Harry had it on the coach.
I did see Ryan wearing it for a little while, and then a couple of other people had it on. They were taking a couple of shots of people wearing it.
Nice, that's good. So if you haven't got it yet, do order that, because it is for a very good cause, and obviously we're really lucky in something we don't realise. Marsden is a massive, massive thing worldwide. I know I said that in the interview with Ben, and he's really, really proactive on pushing the partnership with Marsden as well. And it's nice to see the players up there, because it's something on our doorstep. It's worldwide recognition. Just let's support it as much as we can. But we do move on, as always. We've got 9 more times we can move on. We've got Grimsby at the weekend, assuming pitch doesn't get flooded. But I'm sure we'll be okay. They've had mixed results. They've done a couple of strong wins. Like Forest Green were doing well, and then Grimsby seem to have stopped that, so thanks for that. But then they also can lose quite badly as well. So we're at home. What do you think we need to do to get at Grimsby? How do we win that game?
I mean, I think it is a must win whichever way it comes. If the team want to have any hope of staying in the division, it is a must win. We've got to start. You know, we haven't won enough of the games, like the Grimsbys, like the Colchesters and Doncasters and teams like this. We haven't won enough of those games at home. You know, I think if they play the way they played against Tranmere, then they'll have a great chance of winning. I think probably at home they'll be a bit more, maybe a bit more expansive with the football. I think maybe you won't see the two defensive midfielders because we're going to be at home. They've got to get their tails up, get the crowd behind them, and they've just got to go for it. I think Charlie Lakin's a really great player. I mean, he was fantastic yesterday. His range of passing and his movement off the ball is brilliant. I think if he's on his game and Harry Smith's up for it, I think, you know, that's the way we win it. You've got to have that bit of creativity in the middle, and then you know, Harry's got to go and bag us some goals, I think, or someone has to. We have to score goals. That was the problem yesterday. We've got to win. It's a home game. You know, we're running out of home games and games in general, so we've got to win. There's not much more you can say on it, really.
Yeah, I mean, I saw one comment earlier about the players and saying, for a team that's been so down there the whole season, most teams' fans would have turned against the team at some point, and they're essentially being supported. I know we get frustrated every now and then, but in general, it's like, come on, we start again, let's move on.
Yeah.
But how do we play our part? I mean, you said get the crowd behind them.
Yeah.
Should we not be trying to get the atmosphere going? Should we or are we waiting for the players to give us that little spark? Because when they come out and they're on it straight away, they'll have the crowd behind them.
But
it's one of those things that go around.
I think if it's anything like yesterday, like I say, the 140 odd fans that were there created more noise pretty much throughout the whole game until Tranmere scored. Than the home support, and I think it was 5,000 odd Tranmere fans there, and the 143, and it probably wasn't all of the 143, but certainly a big section of it were creating more noise in that ground than the Tranmere fans. So if the home crowd can get behind them and give them that bit of a push on, and not get frustrated when it's not going how we want it to go, I think the players will respond to that. I know that, but the players have got to do their bit as well. They've got to give the fans something to get behind. So I just hope they can. I hope it will give them that bit of glimmer of hope if they can go on and get something out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's that age old thing you say for ages. We are quiet anyway at home. I know some of the young ones are doing their best to try and create something. We really should support that. But it's the age-old problem is the 140 people, they're not going to be all standing together. They'll be dotted all over the place on Saturday because everyone prefers to watch it from their own spot. We just need to, we need something, some little spark from somewhere. I am not going to go on the pitch and give them a dressing down. That is definitely not happening. We'll do some predictions. We'll do the prediction league because I didn't get doubled as I thought I was being. So the points have come back to, I haven't written this down. So Andy and Paul are on 114 and I think I'm on 62 with 60 to play for. So I can still win this. I just need to work out a way of massaging the figures to my direction. But they're both pulling a little bit away. However, I did look up where you were. You're sitting nicely in fifth place and you're on 90 points. So you actually could win this. with 6 points to win, you could definitely still come into this. But what leads on the screen, if anyone wants to play along, but what would your early prediction be? As I say to everyone who plays the game, don't forget, you'll enter it later on so you're not tied to this score. You can wait to hear team news and whatnot.
I am going to say 2-0 win for Sutton.
2-0, nice.
I did say I'm a pessimist, but I'm going to say 2-0 win. I'm going to say we're going to get an early goal sort of in the first 10 or 15 minutes and then going to score in the last 10 minutes just to seal it and make everyone a bit more relieved. So everyone's going to hang on and bite their nails throughout the whole game at 1-0 and then we'll seal it towards the end.
Beautiful. I'm going to go with a 3-2 thriller. Just
nice.
Because I've not got any of them right. So what's the point of even trying anymore? I think I'm the only person left who could technically still win, who hasn't got one single result right. And that's
I think I've only had one all season. So
well, mine's based on the fact that I'm the only one I think who's played every single round. that's it. So Saturday at home. Let's get behind them. Let's push for the last little bit. We all know it's not probable, but it is possible. So let's give them every chance. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but hey, let's hope and pray. But also one other bit of news, which I sort of came and went. no mention of Omar Shomi for a little while. I'm kind of assuming he's out of favour and he clearly doesn't fancy him, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, he's just had his heart operation.
Yeah, that surprised me as well, to be fair.
Excuse me, that sounds quite important. Could we not possibly have? But I'd sort of message him. I've quite good conversations with him about his dog because he's got a really lovely dog. So he's in hospital. I was like, oh my God, are you all right? And he's like, yeah, you're fine. I was like, okay, he's got a dog. He went, no, don't worry, I'll be home this afternoon. I was like, my one chance of stealing the dog is gone. That's it. He sounds like he's recovered from whatever it was.
Good.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shock. I know Steve doesn't like showing his hand and telling who's injured and basically saying, why don't we just tell them who our team is?
Yeah.
But things like that, I think he needs to understand that Sutton fans would be very interested to know and want to send their wishes to the players. It's an odd one. Good luck to Omar. And again, with that, who knows what it is with Omari? Because it could be our favourite, it could be he's injured. We just literally don't know.
Like you say, Steve plays his cards very close to his chest. And I think, you know, we've probably been obviously spoilt with Dawes and with Matt being so open and telling us pretty much everything that goes on at the club. So it's just something we're probably going to have to get used to. It's obviously Steve's quirk, isn't it? That he's just not going to give that info away.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But also a great interview, if anyone's not seen it yet, with Bart about just the last couple of years. And I had to keep rewinding it because I was like, I can't understand this man at all. Because he's sitting there smiling, going, oh yeah, and then the impact came and my foot was facing the wrong direction. It's like, I'm sorry, you're smiling, talking about a horrific injury. But he's doing well as well. He's always in good spirits, which is obviously great to see. And he's obviously very grateful to all the support and comments to everyone. So if anyone sees him around, just ask him all about it. He loves telling the story. But we're going to wrap up this episode. As always, we appreciate your feedback. And I have got the cup. Joe's not on, but your ear tension. Joe's not on to see it, but I have got the cup today. Don't forget to like, share, and all the rest of it on social media with @SuttonPodcast. And subscribe to your preferred podcast platform. We have climbed up the charts in Spain again. I got another message earlier on. So thanks, everyone in Spain. Hola. Leave us a review. Next time we are joined by, I didn't write this down, so you'll have to give me a second, and I will have to, I have informed everyone this time, because apparently I didn't do that last time around. This is going very close, sorry, this is perfect. So I think after Grimsby, we've got Chris and Sarah, who will be doing the Grimsby match for us on Sunday, Mother's Day. We'll be joined then. So thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to Lucky Star Gin as always. And I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Take care. Oh, thanks to Alison. Sorry, I was four. thank you. And especially as you had Manfred as well. Bye. So you got through it. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye. United.
Sports Social Podcast Network.